Sports Gamble Podcast.
All right, let's get this started. Let's go. Welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast, the NFL Wild Card Edition. I'm here with my main man, money maker, Manuel Hernandez. How you doing, Manuel? Did you have a good holiday?
I did. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa and all of that stuff, all of the above. And we have a special guest today, Isaac Buentello. You might hear him referred to as B. Big Raider fan, going to talk to us. What's up, B?
Oh, just hanging in there with the Derek Carr injury. Crushed my heart and soul in week 16.
Hey, but your team's in the playoffs, dude. You got Connor Cook going. You're good.
This is true.
Yeah, so we took a little 2-week vacation to celebrate the holidays, but now we're back, and we're going to break down this 4-game slate, and we're going to do a little Raider deep dive with our guests and Manuel, who is also a Raider fan as well. So let's start with that game. Manuel, you got a line for me on this game? Let me get my computer booted up, sorry. Raiders at Texans.
Raiders at Texans. I guess the over-under is the lowest in that we've had all year for an NFL game. It's at 36.5. We haven't had a game lower than 37. So that tells you a lot about what's going on with these two franchise quarterbacks that are representing. Well, not really franchise quarterback for the Raiders, but the $72 million man that is Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, so speaking of the quarterbacks, B, just like you mentioned, once again, welcome to the podcast. But as a Raider fan, you know, what's it like going into the playoffs without your quarterback? What kind of hope is there?
I think it was difficult just to see Derek Carr go down with the season that we've had. Obviously, he's an MVP candidate type of quarterback, our franchise cornerstone. It was tough. It was hard. I think the first thing that we have to do as Raider fans is just appreciate the 12-4 season and the fact that we're in the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. So there definitely is that relief and joy to look at. But to not have Derek Carr in the biggest game that we've had in 14 years is definitely tough. It's hard. I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm going to be hopeful as a Raider fan, but as a betting person, it's tough to take that bet or bet on the Raiders in this game on the road. Rookie quarterback, first start ever, is in the playoffs, number one defense. Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot to consider there.
Yeah, and that's a good segue into, you know, what we like to do on this podcast is talk about handicapping and betting, Manuel's expertise, and talk about a little bit of DFS, DraftKings situations. So, Manuel, it opened at 37.5. You talked about how low it was. Well, it got bet down to 36.5. And it opened at Houston -2.5, and now it's bet up to Houston -3.5. So not a lot of faith in the Oakland side. What are you seeing, Manny? What are you thinking about the side and the total?
Well, I myself can only bet this game over. I just think when you have this much speed, I mean, I always go back. I sound like a broken record. When you have all the speed in the NFL and all this adrenaline out there, all these guys hyped up and these inexperienced quarterbacks that are quote unquote, you know, gunslingers, which Connor Cook does have the reputation of being. I mean, you are who you are. You're not just all of a sudden going to be Alex Smith, the game manager who's going to have dump offs. You're going to have aggressive guys coming off the edge, try to pick your pocket, some maybe a scoop and score here and there, and of course, some special teams or a broken play. So, I mean, I can only bet this over at such a low number. But as far as the game, I'm afraid that I'm going to be putting my money on the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the betting the over. B, do you know what the score was of their previous matchup? Because these two teams have already played each other, the Texans and the Raiders. They played in Mexico City, if I'm not mistaken, earlier in the year.
I don't recall. I want to say it was 27-17, 27-20, something around that. So based on that, it would definitely be over. But that was with a healthy Derek Carr. and I think we only scored 10 points through the third quarter. It took two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to bring us back and finally put us ahead.
Yeah, and if I recall in that game, there was a long DeAndre Hopkins touchdown that was called back.
That was just good reffing right there.
right. So to continue on to what Manuel was saying about the over, if you like the over in this game, then you probably have to like some players to score touchdowns. Right, Manuel? Manuel.
Sorry, yeah, I'm here. I just can't. I put my shit on mute. I put it on mute so you guys don't hear me breathing and farting and scratching. And then so it's like I have trouble finding the mute button again. I have so many windows going on my phone and a TV and a phone and a computer. I'm sorry.
That's good. Anyway, dude. Maybe you know TMI. What? Manuel, you're a multitasker, dude. I appreciate that about you. Thank you for giving us your time for podcast number 3. If people need to know out there, we've tried this. This is our third time and we finally got the technology right. But anyways, Manuel. People are going to score touchdowns, right? If we like the over, and there's a lot of value as far as DFS-wise because not a lot of people are going to be on this game, and they're not going to pick players from this game because the total's so low. No one's going to score, according to Vegas.
Right. I mean, it's easy to pickpocket the guys that are going to get bought if they do get bought. You're going to have people getting frisky and spending, I think you said, $5,500 on DeAndre Hopkins.
Ooh, okay. So, I mean, we can look at their lineup cost. DeAndre Hopkins, 6.7K. I mean, that's a lot.
Wow.
That's more than Golden
Tate. Yeah, that's
Tate.
A lot.
That's a lot.
I wouldn't advise that you make that purchase when you're pretty much still depending on Brock Osweiler to do that. And that's what's so volatile about this DFS game and this fantasy game that I think for me to look at a number and look at a team and a side and an over-under is not that it's easier, but it's a little bit easier to predict because you can put a number on the injured guys and then it's built into the spread for you. And you just make a pretty much educated or not educated guess. And even the best of the best are going to be, 56.5 to be successful. And this DFS game, I mean, I really can't advise anybody go out there and make anybody a purchase on anybody. Not when you have other tight ends going for $2,500 might have the value of a CJ Federwicks.
Yeah, and here's what I think. And B, I'll get your input to my last point real quick. I think points are going to be scored in this game. 37.5. I mean, it could be a 17-36.5.
2017 gets you the over.
Yeah, 2017. So. I mean, it could be 17-14. There you go. That's four touchdowns spread across this game. So if you think you can find some value, and if you think it's value, then you can go for it. I like Lamar Miller and CJ Fedorowicz for Houston. And for Oakland, I like either the three-headed running backs. You pick one and you go for it. Or you pair up Jalen Richard, one of the running backs, with the Oakland defense and hope you get like a kick return touchdown or something. Because that double counts on DraftKings. But to talk about the Oakland Raider running back situation, B, what do you think about the running backs this weekend?
I think if I'm going anybody for DFS, Daily Fantasy, I have to go Jalen Richard just with the way I think the game is going to go. I think we'll try and run the ball early, struggle, have to move to some sort of dump-offs or getting our running backs involved in the passing game, and that speaks to Jalen Richard being used quite extensively. The last Oakland Texans game, I believe he had a touchdown pass in that game, 6-7 receptions. McKinney had a hard time guarding him, so they could go back to that as well. That's the way I just see it playing out. So as far as usage, I would go Jalen Richard. I do like the Texans tight end, Fedorowicz, in this game. We had a tough time guarding him last time. I think that's the Oakland Raiders all season, can't guard the tight end. So I would say probably both of those players there.
All right, any more we need to say about this game?
With that said, I think you don't purchase a Latavius Murray, and it's too hard to see who's going to be Connor Cook's go-to guy, whether it's going to be Amari Cooper, who I don't believe is 100% healthy, and or Michael Crabtree.
Well, that's interesting, though, too. Just based off last game, and we have a very small sample size with Connor Cook, he threw 21 passes last week, targeted Amari Cooper 7 times. Amari Cooper did have a touchdown, and we'll see if – I read something as well. Amari Cooper was going to be demanding the ball this week. So we'll see, and I believe against the Texans last time, scored on a screen pass, and he can do that as well. It'll be interesting to see if they really do get him involved early and often, and what Connor Cook does with Amari Cooper, if that's going to be his go-to guy.
Well, I know B made a reference to the Mexico game, and with all due respect, I don't want to poop or step on his comment or opinion. But in my opinion, I don't think you can look into that game whatsoever. I think this is a totally different ballgame. You have a rookie quarterback who's making his first start in the NFL, starting a playoff game on the road against probably the best defense left in the playoffs. And this, if anything, the Houston Texans are using it as a huge revenge game. And I definitely see the Raiders getting steamrolled. But hey, that's just my humble opinion that I will be putting money on.
All right, there you go. You guys ready to move on to the night game on Saturday?
Let's do it.
All right, so we have the Detroit Lions at the Seattle Seahawks. We got the over-under at 43. Seattle are 8-point favorites at home. It opened up at 7.5, so I got bet up a little bit. I know I was talking to you, Manuel. We were mentioning a little bit about it, but this is a game I think is going to be kind of underrated for passing. We have two passing defenses that haven't been playing that well lately. I know Detroit has Darius Slay, but Seattle has not been that good against the pass since Earl Thomas went out. And I think from a DFS perspective, there's some players you want to choose in this game. Over-under is 43, Manuel. What do you think?
Yeah, and already since the last time we spoke, this over-under keeps getting beat down. It was 44.5. You're talking about a point and a half going through key numbers such as 44. 21 and 23, that's 44, right? 24 to 20. What else? If you're talking about the Seahawks covering an 8-point spread, so what is that? 44. Help me out, Isaac, some math.
So the projected point total for Seattle, let's see, I don't have that right there. The projected point total, hold on, give me 1 second, is 25.5 for the Seahawks and 17.5 for the Lions.
Well, that has the Lions covering? What are you looking at?
No, that's just
8. Well, because 17.5, you'd have to round up.
No, 25.5 minus 17.5. I mean, that's 8 points. But, I mean, that's just the Vegas implied total, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm sorry, what was the question?
I'm not going to cut this out of the podcast, by the way, because I had a feeling Manuel completely forgot what the hell we were talking about. What do you think about the over-under, man, on this game? You said it keeps getting bet down. I think that there's going to be scoring in this game, dude.
The over. I know. I know that at one of the other podcast redos that we did, I talked about how I was excited that you liked the fact that you thought it was low, and I like the under, and it keeps getting bet down. So I'm like, I know the public's got to be all over this over, and not that I'm the wisest of guys, but I love this – this under. I think this is a total mismatch as far as anybody that plays the offensive line for the Seahawks is going to have an advantage. And I don't believe Stafford is 100%. I just don't think that defensive line is going to allow any continuity for the offensive line for the Seahawks as far as in the red zone. So and Hoshka has been a terrible kicker this year from every which way. If anything, the Lions have the advantage with the special teams and the kicking aspect. And I know that Lockett was a big part of what special teams the Seahawks had going. We can't overlook that field position. So if you have down, if you're down a returner such as a Pro Bowl returner his rookie year like Lockett, I think a screaming under even at 43.5.
So you don't believe in Devin Hester? They just signed him.
No, no, that goes without saying. I don't believe in that. If anything, that's a detriment.
Could be.
I wanted to ask you guys something. I wanted to say, I basically lost my train of thought because I was doing some quick. I didn't know how many years the league. Stafford had been in, and including this year, he's been in the league 8 years. And I want to ask you guys over under on how many wins he has versus teams with a winning that finished the season with the winning record above 500 for the year. And if I set the over under at 6.5,
over?
You'd say over, so you'd say 7.
Yeah,
Rocha. What about you, B?
I would have to say over, but with you just bringing up that stat, I want to say you're going to enlighten us and tell us that it's under that.
It's fucking on the road with teams that he's finished that have finished over 500 for the year. This is on the road. He's 1-24 for his career. He has 5 wins total, and I think it's like 5-44 or something like that.
Well, he was on an 0-16. Detroit Lions team. It's not like the Lions have been very good for very long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, but you can only excuse that 16, that 1-0-16 season for so long. He didn't play. Every team he played on the schedule wasn't above 500, didn't finish above 500. This is a sample period of teams that he has faced in his career that have finished above 500. And I only want to talk about because specifically this lends itself to that he's playing on the road and he's 1-24 in this situation.
Well, I just think – I mean, I'm not sure what the argument is. Is it against the Lions or is it against Stafford? Because teams lose games. It's not just Matthew Stafford that lost all of those games.
I'm saying Stafford sucks.
Okay. So, Manuel, do you like Seattle to cover and you like the under? Is that what you're
no,
saying?
No, actually, I like the Lions. I'm going to put my money on that 1-24. I just wanted to bring it up.
I think that you're contradicting yourself. I don't think Detroit covers and this game goes under. Like, I think if you
If you look at how Stafford does versus good teams this year versus good defenses, he's averaging like 15 points a game. And we both know the Seattle defense is a hell of a defense. I just think the Seattle Seahawks team is ready to self-combust. I think there's locker room issues with a Sherman there. Like I said, they don't have good special teams. They're dropping players every week. And, I mean, they went to Tampa Bay and they put up 5 points. They lost to the Rams this year.
I would attribute that to their O-line and their O-line not playing that great on the road. And they seem to have home road splits. Seattle does, and they're at home. I think they're going to play well. Like I said, my view is that there's going to be some offense because both of these pass defenses aren't that great.
I'm going to take it out of the balloon or whatever. I'm going to take the element of surprise out of this pod anyway. I think the Lions are going to win, and my money's going to be on the Lions. I'm just glad that this money keeps going up because it's going to call for a juicier money line come Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, if that's your angle, big time. And since I think that these two teams are going to be able to pass on each other, I like the passing offenses. Tate, Jones, Bolden, Baldwin, Curse, Paul Richardson. I kind of like Alex Collins a little bit more than Thomas Rawls. And I like both these quarterbacks. Russell Wilson's at 7K. He's going to be – him and Ben are the two highest-owned quarterbacks this weekend. Well, and Aaron Rodgers, of course. But Stafford, 5.7K, that's pretty cheap, dude. If he can get you 200 yards and 2 touchdowns at that cheap, like, that's good value, you know? And I think he's definitely can get that.
I don't know how highly you have the DFS running backs this week, but I think if it's a value play, I like the Zenner kid. I think you can pencil him in for a touchdown.
That's what I
– Whether it's catching or punching it in.
And I know B was saying that he gets volume earlier too, but his – price went up, and I don't know how much of a value he is.
Really?
More. Well, he's 4.5K, so.
I mean, 4.5, so what kind of production does he have to have? I know you have that calculator, Isaac. Where
in the tournament, I mean, you want him to get 20 points, at least, in a tournament.
With $4,000?
Yeah, in a cash game, maybe like 15 points, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even though we're only down to four teams.
Yeah. The pricing's tough.
Four games, I should say.
What do you think, B?
What's the question?
Well, I mean, who do you like for, like, DFS purposes in this game?
I do like Zinner. I do think from a volume standpoint, what you're going to pay for him, he's going to get the ball, which could easily end up, like Manuel said, a pass-catching touchdown or just run it in. I could even see two touchdowns. He's going to – if they're in the red zone and close enough, he's going to be the one that's getting the ball. I do like Doug Baldwin in this game. I know Darius Slay is back, and that could have – something to do with, you know, his level of production, but from a volume standpoint for him as well, Lockett going down, I think they're going to force feed him. And then I know we talked about this in one of the other podcasts, but Jimmy Graham's usage, I didn't hear anything about that. Is he going to have a breakout game because maybe they try and cover Baldwin more and open things up for Jimmy Graham? I think it's all going to be on Russell Wilson. We already know their offensive line is not that great. I think Russell Wilson's the healthiest he's been in weeks, and he's just a playmaker. He just does things miraculously with his arm or leg. So I do see this game going over, and I think there's going to be some explosive plays. I do think the Seahawks D line is going to get after it and definitely have a few sacks, and that's going to ultimately determine the outcome of this game.
Hey Manuel, here's one thing I was thinking of, right? Seattle's at home. I think if they do win this game, it'll be because of their defense. It comes up with some big plays. But Seattle on the road has been a lot different. And I think next week, whether they're in Dallas or Atlanta or Green Bay, they're just going to get mollywopped.
I'm just saying Seattle's a fraud, and I'm not waiting for them to have a road game. They're a fraud. And right. I don't see this. I think both of these defenses are going to play bend but don't break, which is going to lend to your big play theory, but not necessarily like for touch. That's not going to equate into touchdowns, because when you smash down the field and you have your quarterback getting – and not only that, but Stafford's not 100%, so the playbook isn't all there. They're going to be ultra-conservative and make sure not to turn it over. So they'll gladly take 40-yard field goals from what's the drunk guy's name, the drunk kicker's name for the Lions?
Prater?
Is it Hansen? Oh, Prater. Yeah, yes. He used to be the Denver Broncos. Yeah, Prater, you're right. Yeah, he's got leg. I would say he's more reliable. So,
all right, anything else about this game before we move on to Sunday? Nope. All right. Miami at Pittsburgh. This is the highest point total of the weekend. It's at 46. Pittsburgh 10-point favorites at home. The implied point total here, Manuel, is 28 points for Pittsburgh and 18 points for Miami. You're going to see a lot of DFS action targeted here. People are going to want to throw the 3B stack out there, Ben, Bell, and Brown. B, what you think about some DFS players in this game?
For me in this game, I definitely see a lot of points scored. The Steelers finally have their three-headed monster healthy and in the playoffs. For this game, I actually really love Antonio Brown in this game a little bit more. I think Le'Veon Bell is definitely still going to do his thing, but I see this being a Antonio Brown two touchdown 150 yard type of performance, and the production and volume is going to be there.
There you go. I don't know how like outlandish a call that is, but
I'm definitely not going out on a limb. That's Antonio Brown.
I feel comfortable saying that. Everyone's going to be on Le'Veon Bell because he's ended the season stronger than Brown. What do you think, Manuel? I mean, because Bell's 10.3K, Antonio Brown's 9.4. I mean, they're the two highest priced at their positions by a lot. I mean, not by a lot. Odell is just under Antonio Brown, but Bell definitely by a lot.
Let's talk about some players not named Antonio Brown. I know you brought this up, Isaac. I like the kid Deion Sims. I can't get him out of my head, and I think he's going to get a touchdown in there. And also Jarvis Landry. I really – I think that he's built some rapport. I know you like Kenny Stills, Isaac, but I mean, if there's points to be had, I mean, you're reaching in the bag and you're going to get one of those wide receivers. It's more than likely you're going to have a touchdown. You still have Devontae Parker. I know he's been kind of quiet for a couple weeks. So it sounds like it's pick your poison.
No, I agree with you, man. I think I think Jarvis Landry is a good play this weekend, especially if you look at the line, if you look at the projected totals, like, they're, Miami's projected to be down, and they like to force feed Landry, but they like to force feed him even when they're up. Like, they're just, they just like to force feed him.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey, dude, I only have three catches, and I'm on my fantasy team. Can you hook me up with, like, seven real quick? And it's just like, before you know it, he's got four in that in one drive.
Yeah.
So, on game day in my book, they put up, like, projected scores like that. And if it's 18.5, I'm definitely betting the over. That's a good way to bet on the team total for, like, the Dolphins. I definitely see more than three touchdowns. Well, not more than 21 points out of that team, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, so one of my sleeper running backs I like is Damian Williams from Miami. 3.6K, he's very cheap. He is getting some run. And like I said, you're kind of going with the game flow thing. Like, if you are going to play a lot of the Pittsburgh guys, then that means Miami's going to need to score. And if they get Ajayi out of there, they put in their, like, third down back, Damian Williams, he can get some passes out of the backfield.
And one thing we know, Ben Roethlisberger, is he's a gunslinger. And what do gunslingers do? They turn the ball over, especially this year. Ben Roethlisberger has been prone to the Brett Favre fun ball. So giving the Dolphins and J.J. a short field, that's a good antidote for points, points, points.
So what side do you like in this game, man? 10 points, that's a lot, dude.
Yeah, man, I can only bet the Dolphins. We'll see what happens. I actually want more points. And, I mean, people are only going to bet the Steelers. That nobody's looking to bet the Dolphins. But the Dolphins have already shown that they can go on the road and win in cold weather. I don't know what you guys think, but I heard it's supposed to be ugly and sloppy. And the Dolphins are kind of built to play in ugly and sloppy. They run the ball and they check down, especially now with Tannehill. It's not like they're going to go deep because Matt Moore doesn't have the arm that Tannehill does. So
I think the weather is clear and sunny.
It's clear?
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be warm.
I heard today it might be a slop fest, but. I mean, we know what happens. The weather guy can be wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only bet the Dolphins. There's no way I'm going to start laying double digits in the playoffs.
Yeah, what do you think, B? What do you think about this line?
I definitely think that's a lot of points, and people are going to be banking on the fact that it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They score a lot of points. But in the playoffs, things just seem to tighten up, and it's hard to predict blowouts in the playoffs when these are all, you know, the top 12 teams in the NFL. Things are probably going to be tighter. But I still do see a lot of scoring in this game. I do like Antonio Brown. I think their tight end, Jesse James, could have some value as well. Le'Veon Bell is obviously going to get things from a volume standpoint, but are you going to be willing to pay top dollar for him? Or can you find another running back that's going to produce for cheap? Just kind of depends. I think they're going to pass the ball. Looks like the game's in the 20s, but it's supposed to be clear. So we'll kind of see how that field holds up. And it, you never know. It could turn into a slop fest, but I just think that Pittsburgh high-powered offense is going to put up points. Matt Moore has actually done a good job since stepping in for Tannehill. But I do see it being a high-scoring game, both sides.
And that's why I like the 10, because if it is a high-scoring game, I mean, basically the back door's wide open all day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, anything else from this game, this Sunday morning game? All right, let's move on. We have the New York Giants at the Green Bay Packers. This is going to be on Fox, America's Game of the Week, I'm assuming. 44.5 is the total. 3.5-point favorites at home are the Green Bay Packers. Manuel, we've seen this before. Giants, 6 seed, low seed, on the road, Green Bay. I believe last time we saw this, Brett Favre threw a pick 6 at the end of the game. It was snowy. I remember it like it was yesterday. What do you think, man? Green Bay gets revenge in this game?
Well, Green Bay, they already played week 5, and Green Bay tapped that. But are you talking about playoff revenge?
They played this year, week 5.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Maybe I should do better research. Well, how'd that game go?
It's pretty much Aaron Rodgers did his thing.
And?
So, they covered, they won and covered, but this is before – that I really discovered the defense and what it was to just the defense was. I read that it was different philosophy that they were doing. So maybe it's Revenge of the Sith. Maybe McAdoo could beat his old predecessor, but I don't think so. I think that the Packers win 3-2.
Well, oh, wow.
Well, this is going to – so Giants cover. This is going to be one of the most heavily targeted DFS games because you got Aaron Rodgers who's been balling. You got Eli Manning going up against a Packers defense that has not played that great. Odell Beckham, big name. Jordy Nelson, big name. So, I mean, you want to try to find someone on these teams. You know touchdowns are going to be scored. Ty Montgomery is someone that I'm looking at because the Giants defense has played tough, but they're a little bit weaker over the middle and out of the backfield. Ty Montgomery, what do you think, B? Who do you like for DFS purposes in this game?
I've got to agree with the Ty Montgomery as well. I think for this matchup, it's probably the worst matchup the Packers could ask for with the Giants secondary. I think they match up very well with their receivers, but I do think that that leads to a lot of Ty Montgomery either running the ball or matching him up with a linebacker, and with his receiver running back background, he's going to win that matchup all day. So I can see Ty Montgomery having a big impact on this game, catching the ball out of backfield.
Yeah, and on the other side of the ball, running back value, Paul Perkins, I mean, he's been getting a lot of work. He's been getting passes too. I know Rashad Jennings is the bigger name, but the Packers can be ran on, or is it run on?
Which one is it? Both.
Ran, okay. They can be ran and runned on. And so, I mean, I think that's a potential place to look for value. Manuel, I know that people are going to want to roster ODB and Jordy Nelson on their fantasy teams because it looks good just to have one of those guys. But are they going to deliver?
I like me some corn on the cob, and I definitely like your Paul Perkins. You took the word right out of my mouth, Isaac. I definitely like the running backs. I mean, if it's going to be 3-2, I definitely like the running backs in this game. Ty Montgomery, Paul Perkins. If you want to sprinkle in some Rashad, go do it. Last time I checked, Green Bay Packers linebacking core isn't really that agile and good.
All right, came up with a bunch of adjectives there. Jared Cook.
This game is going to be very cold as well, just like we talked about with the Pittsburgh game. It's supposed to be somewhere 10, 12 degrees, something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be very cold, but it should be clear as well. But cold, I mean, is Eli Manning going to do good in the cold? We know Rodgers can do it.
That'll be interesting. He's been inconsistent, but everyone talks about Eli's magic in the playoffs. He seems to just shake off whatever inconsistencies he's had and have big games in the playoffs. Yeah. I do think Odell Beckham is going to have a big game and score and do what he does. I just think this is going to be a tightly contested game, and so it's going to be tough. I think it's a difficult matchup for the Packers based on that secondary that the Giants have, and they've been able to rush the passer as well. But I still do think the Packers do win in a close one.
All right, anything else?
So you have a 3-2 also, B?
I've got it 7-5. Just, you know,
7-5. Who's got the touchdown?
I don't even know on that one. I say 21-17, 21-14, somewhere around there. I'll stick with 21-17, Packers.
All right, so he likes the under. Oh.
Well, 24-21 is right on it, 45. I think that's a good number for Vegas. I think 4.5. It's also a good number. I don't think you're going to get much better than 4, probably. What do you think, Manuel?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, yeah. I have to look for a teaser component because this game came out 7, and I know the public ain't the team. Oh, my God, he got killed. I don't think the public's really moving numbers this early in the week.
You got some live action going on over there, Manuel?
Yeah, I got Ohio State and Purdue. I got Ohio State +3 and this tight 75-75, and Purdue's going in for the winning layup, and this fool just did old Manuel in the park special. Yeah. You'll not score less point on me.
Nice. Hey, there you go.
So now he's going to go to the line for a one-on-one. We'll see what happens. Anyways.
All right. Anything else we need to say about this game?
Would you guys agree with the Cobb situation? You guys like Cobb all around, or you guys like Devontae Adams?
Cobb's going to play, and you know, the short routes and over the middle are where the New York Giants, where they are the weakest, you know, on the outside and deep, man, they're really good defense. So that's not where you want to expose them. So one other guy I was going to say is Jared Cook, the tight end. It makes sense, you know, from a numbers standpoint. Obviously, this is Aaron Rodgers, and he could always just give Jordan Nelson like 15 targets, and he'll catch 10 of them. So there's that.
Yeah. All right. Well, like, let's finish off. Who you guys like to advance this weekend?
You know me, dude. Super square. Give me all the home favorites. To be honest,
all the home favorites.
But I think I kind of side with you as far as Detroit. I think having the best chance.
I think I have to go with the favorites as well. As much as that pains me, I'm going to be cheering and rooting and
take the
screaming
Raiders,
and cursing.
Cool. Take the Raiders. Come on. Put all right, it on record.
Let's go. Raiders win in a close one, 17-13. Under.
Man, reigning under. Endorsement. All right. Yeah. Dude, I'll take the Raiders. Oh, no. Well, I'm going to go. I like the Texans, and I like all the other dogs.
There you go. Giants, Dolphins,
three road teams
and
win.
Lions?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. I kind of hope that doesn't happen because those games next week won't be as fun. But
what are you talking about? This is a New England Invitational.
It's Trump's America now. Anything can happen. You're right.
All right. Thank you.
B, thanks for coming on the podcast, sharing your thoughts about the Raiders and the rest of these games.
Of course. Glad to do it.
Yeah. Manuel.
Yes, maker. Sir.
Let's
Moneymaker.
Let's get some.
Are we gonna get some picks in this week?
Man, you read my mind, dude. Let's get some picks posted out for the public, alright?
Let's do it.
Alright, Sports Gambling Podcast. Be out. Peace.
Late. B.
What? I'm supposed to say.
You called me yesterday, fool, and then I just didn't check my phone until this morning. I was like, oh, are you fucking serious?
Are you kidding me? Oh,
he didn't hit the record button.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite Sports Gamble Podcast.